We have been in a series recently that we simply called Why? And we're asking the question, why this? Why am I going through this situation in my life, a situation that doesn't make any sense, a situation that I don't understand, a situation that I can't explain? Why is God letting me go through this? And we're calling these situations the hard-to-understand times. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be financial, it can be relational, it can be a whole lot of things. Why is God letting me go through this? And so far, we've looked at five reasons that we go through hard-to-understand times in life. Let me just put them up there. We're not going to repeat what's already been said. But God lets us go through hard-to-understand times in life to build your hope, to purify your faith, to help you know Christ better, to glorify God, and to keep your perspective right. We're going to end the series today because, as Christian said, we'll be in Haiti next week, and that's just a good cutoff time, and then when we come back, we'll start something new. So I want to give you three more reasons that you might go through hard-to-understand times in life. And my hope in going through all of this is so that when you go through those times in life that you can't explain, that you don't understand, you'll be able to better deal with them. There'll be some benefit in your life. You'll profit from them. And so let me give you reason number six, that you might go through hard-to-understand times in life. Reason number six is to help you deal with sin. Now, when we began this series, this was probably the one thing that came to most of your minds. Well, God puts us through these hard-to-understand times in life because of sin and to help us deal with sin. Well, again, let me say this. Not every hard-to-understand time in life is because of sin. Some are. But not all of them are. Some hard-to-understand times in life are because God wants to glorify Himself through you, through how you handle it, through how you respond to it. Some hard-to-understand times in life are to build your faith. God knows that growth comes through adversity sometimes. And so He puts us through hard-to-understand times in life so that we can be... Our faith will grow. Sometimes it's to build your hope. Excuse me. There are many reasons that God may put you through hard-to-understand times in life. Some of them may be because of sin. Let me give you one passage. It's a passage that we looked at the very first week, and I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. In your pew Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible, grab one out of the pew. It's on page 810. Hebrews chapter 12, and I simply want to read verses 5 and 6. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Now, the context of the passage is sin. You can see that simply by the language that is used. He uses the word chasten or chastening in verse 5, in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 10, and in verse 11. We didn't read all those verses, but he uses that in the whole context. He uses the word rebuked in verse 5. He uses the word scourges in verse 6. He uses the word correction in verse 9. These are all words that are associated with punishment. God doesn't punish us. Listen to me. God doesn't punish us unless there's a need for punishment. God is not some cosmic killjoy who goes around punishing people because he gets some type of joy out of doing that. Just like a good parent doesn't punish a child unless there's a good reason. Notice I used good twice. There are parents who punish their children. My heart just breaks when I have to stop reading the news sometimes. I read a story this week of a mother who got angry at their infant, so while the infant was sleeping, poured water in his face. I mean, people like that shouldn't have children. So I said, a good parent does not punish a child unless there's a good reason to punish that child. And God does not punish us unless there is a good reason. There's a need, a good reason to punish us. So what's the purpose of punishment? The purpose of punishment is to change behavior. It's not to get even with the kid. It's not to hurt the kid. It's to change their behavior. And that's exactly what God does. Look at verse 10. He says, "For they," speaking of our earthly fathers, "for they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he," that is God, "for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." God punishes us for our profit, for our benefit. And the benefit, he says, is that we might be partakers of his holiness. When you sin, you act unholy. You act unlike God. So God wants us to act like him. He wants us to act holy. So he corrects us. He chastens us to change our behavior when we need that. Then in verse 7, he says that chastening isn't pleasant. I don't know about you, but as a child, my parents believed in corporal punishment. And it was never pleasant. It wasn't designed to be pleasant. It was designed to change behavior. And my older brother and I were often in trouble together. And they needed to change our behavior. And so he says in verse 11, "No chastening seems to be joyful at the present time, but painful. But there is a benefit to it. Afterwards, it yields." Here's the benefit. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what God wants. He wants to change our behavior from wrong behavior to right behavior, from unrighteous behavior to righteous behavior. That's his purpose, to take the unholiness out of us and to put righteousness in us. And he says at the end of that verse, that's all part of the training process. That's what you do as a parent when you discipline your children. You are training them that one type of behavior is not acceptable and another type of behavior is acceptable. Sometimes, as Christians, we go through hard to understand times in life because God wants to help you deal with the sin in your life. It might be a sin that you have overlooked. You've just sort of put it out of your mind. It might be a sin that you didn't realize was damaging your Christian life as much as it was. And God, listen to me, because he is a loving, concerned Father, he wants better for you. He's not content to let you stay the way you are. He's not content to let you stay in your sin. And so he brings something into your life that will help you examine your life and will help you deal with the sin that you find in your life. When you go through hard to understand times in life and you begin to look at why this? And you come to the conclusion that, you know what? This might have to do with sin. What you need to do is to confess that sin. That means you agree with God that sin is bad, that sin is wrong, and you ask Him to forgive you. Now, if you want to research this a little further, you go back and read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is David's great confession of sin after he sinned with Bathsheba. And you read that and you will get a good model on how to confess your sin. Now again, let me say that not all hard to understand times in life are because of sin, but some are. And God, because He loves you so much, simply wants to change your behavior. He wants to change you. He wants to take that unholiness out of you and put holiness into you. Now, the seventh reason that you might go through hard-to-understand times in your life are to mold you into His image. Now, these two things this morning go together to help you deal with sin and to mold you into His image. One is what we might call the negative side, and the other is what we might call the positive side. God doesn't just punish for sin and stop there. The punishment is simply the start of the process. But whether it's because of sin or not because of sin, God has an interest in molding you into something else. Now, the passage that we want to look at here is a familiar passage, Romans chapter 12. You want to turn there. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, simply the first two verses, the Apostle Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, there are two key words in this passage as we look at the idea of molding us into His image. The first is the word conformed. That word simply means to be fashioned or shaped in a certain way. Young people, especially around the high school age, often try to fashion themselves in a certain way. They want to be individuals. They want to express their individuality. They want to express their independence. And so they take on a certain look. Back in my high school days, and for those of you who are relatively new to our church, I was raised in California. I never lived more than about 20 miles from the ocean. And so the popular look when I was growing up was the surfer look. I never could pull it off because I couldn't get my hair to come down, you know, in that surfer style. But that was a popular look back then. Today, there are all kinds of looks. There might be the gothic look, or the biker look, or the Kardashian look, or the Hollywood look. And kids adopt a certain look so they can be individuals. And what they don't realize is that everybody they hang around with has the same look. So now they're part of the group that has that look. The Scripture tells us that the world has a certain look. Can I just use one example today to tell you what that look looks like? It looks like the law that was just passed in New York State, that abortions can be performed up to the day before a child is born. That's what the world's look looks like. With no regard for life, with no regard for the sanctity of life. You know, January that we just came through, we observe as Christians as Sanctity of Life Month. We didn't say a lot about it this year. We gave you a little brochure on it. But we believe that God gives life and only God can take life. And we don't have the right to take someone's life. And so we're not to have the look of the world. We're not to be conformed to the look of the world. Instead, and now here's the second word, we're to be transformed. That word simply means to be changed into something else. We get our word metamorphosis from this particular Greek word. When a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, they go through that process of metamorphosis. They're changed from one thing that we'd like to smash to something beautiful that we revel in. And that's what's happening to us as Christians. God is changing us from the caterpillar that we were to the butterfly that He wants us to be. Again, a passage that we looked at before but talks about this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, the comparison there is to Moses who had to veil his face when he went into the tabernacle. We with unveiled, he couldn't look at God. When he looked at and met with God in the tabernacle, he came out and his face shone so brilliantly because of the glory of God that he had encountered that the people begged him to put a veil over his face. We don't have to do that. We can go before God with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed. Same word that was used in Romans chapter 12. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What God wants is to change us into something better, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. And sometimes He has to use hard-to-understand times to do that. We are hard people. We don't change easily. No one really likes change. And especially when it comes to spiritual change, that's difficult. But God wants us to change it, and we can't do it by ourselves. We are weak. You remember the old hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it"? That's who we are. We're prone to wander away from God. We cannot change into what God wants us to be in our own power, in our own strength, by ourselves. We aren't spiritually strong enough, so God is doing it for us. By the way, God is not changing you into a better version of yourself. He is changing you into something totally new and something totally different. You see, if the change was up to us, we would simply become a better version of ourselves. That's all we could do. Now, I hope that in my life I have changed from who I was back in those days when my parents had to discipline me. And I think the same is true for all of you. And I hope we're constantly changing. By the way, I never say to me, "I'm too old to change." I just won't abide that. There are some things that really set me off, and that's one of them. Just don't ever tell me you're too old to change. For a Christian, that is lame, lame, lame. Okay? You are never too old to change. I hope I never. Listen, if you think I am getting too old to change, just give me a swift kick in the you-know-where. We should never be too old to change and become better for God. He is changing us. And sometimes we have to go through those hard-to-understand times. And when you do and you can't figure it out, this is one, by the way, that fits every situation. Okay? There's one thing that's true about every hard-to-understand time in life, and that is God is molding you. It might have to do with sin. It might have to do with increasing your faith. It might have to do with giving you more hope. But He is in the process of molding you into His image. So when you go through one of those times, you can ask God, "God, what are you trying to change about me? What needs to change in my life? What needs to be different? Where do I need to be more like Jesus?" The last reason that I want to give you for hard-to-understand times in life is to keep you humble. And by that, I mean to make you like Jesus. Most of us struggle with being humble. We all fight pride in our lives. Can I just share with you very quickly what God has to say about pride and humility? Let's start with pride. Everyone who is arrogant in heart, what a description of pride, arrogant in heart, is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:18. You'll just have time to write down the references. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians 6 and verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something, if they're proud, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Listen, if you're proud, you're just deceiving yourself. James 4, 6. God opposes the proud. If there's one lesson that we can learn from these verses about pride, it's that pride is the opposite of everything God wants for your life. Well, what about humility? A couple of verses. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 22, 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. James 4, 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And finally, 1 Peter 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he, at the proper time, may exalt you. If there's one lesson that we can learn about humility from these verses, is that humility exemplifies everything God wants for your life. There's no question which one God likes, which one God prefers, which one he wants to build into our lives. The problem is that we naturally gravitate towards pride and we reject the idea of humility. And that's because we have a wrong idea of what humility really is. We think that humility is something to be avoided. If a person is humble, that means they let people walk all over them. That means they're a doormat. Do you know what Hebrews chapter 12 says? Listen to this verse. Now the man Moses was very meek, humble, above all of the men which are upon the face of the earth. But no one ever accused Moses of letting people walk all over him. Study Moses' life and tell me if you think his life exemplifies what we think humility is. He was nobody's weakling. He was nobody's doormat. Humility is knowing who you are in the sight of God. It's understanding that without God, you are nothing. It's knowing that we need God in our lives. That's humility. And sometimes God sees us just getting a little bit too proud of who we are, or a little bit too proud of what we have done, or a little bit too proud of what people have said about us, and they patted us on the back. And that sense of pride stops us from being who God wants us to be. And so God brings hard to understand times into our lives to keep us humble, to make us more like Christ. You see, hard to understand times help you deal with sin. They mold you into his image, and they keep you humble. And that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to deal with our sin. He wants us to take on the image of Christ, to become more like Jesus every day. He wants us to be humble people, knowing what God has done for us. Well, let me end this series with this. Don't despise the hard-to-understand times. Use them to grow in your spiritual development. Let those hard-to-understand times in life do in your life what God wants them to do. And I hope by going through this series over the last 5 Sundays that you have a different perspective now on the struggles of life and the trials of life and the hard-to-understand times in life, and you will approach them differently. You will accept them because there's a benefit for you. You will accept them because God is doing something for you. They can change your life. Rather than saying, boy, I wish I never had to go through a hard time again. I hope this never happens in my life. I don't know why this has happened in my life. I can't wait for it to be over. Try to figure out what God is doing in your life, how God is trying to change you, how God is trying to make you better. Let's pray together. Father, we don't always understand life. And for sure, we don't always understand the hard-to-understand times, the struggles of life, the difficulties of life. Father, I pray that you would help us to have a different perspective, that we might grow through the difficulties of life, that we might be changed moment by moment into the image of Jesus. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.